Okay, well, Pastor Vayetze, we're going to do some thoughts I have recently. Actually, I thought about this when I was leaning on Monday. Okay, we're going to do some element. We're going to talk about tefillah based on the parasha and based on the events surrounding the parasha. And we're going to talk about different types of tefillah based on the Gemara. So we'll start in. We're going to start in Vayetze, but we're going to use Vayetze as a springboard to jump around Chumash and then some Midrashim and then some Machshava, then Rav Steinsaltz. Really? Okay. We begin with Yaakov. Per Kafchet Pasuk Yud, the very beginning of Vayetze. Okay. We find ourselves with Yaakov on his way out of Be'er Sheva. Why is he on his way out of Be'er Sheva? Just to remind ourselves, why is he leaving?
He's fleeing Esau.
He's running away from his brother. Why? Because his brother wants to kill him. Why does his brother want to kill him?
He stole the bracha.
Why did he steal the bracha?
His mother told him to.
Correct. Correct. He's like a pawn in this whole thing. Like he did it, but if you'd ask him, where would he rather be today?
Studying.
Yeah, right. He's rather be at home. This all happened in a very short period of time. He's sitting learning the base medrash. His mother calls him. He comes and says, "Yeah, mom, what would you like me to do?" She says, "Quick, go get this food and get your brother and take the bracha." I'm like, how long did it take between? And he says, "Mom, what are you kidding?" She says, "Just do it." And okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But Esau's gonna kill me. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And
And I'll go.
Right. So he goes. He does it. He gets the bracha. He goes back to learning. 2 hours later, she calls him and says, "Yaakov, come here. I'm in the middle of a big kitzos. Can it wait? No, come quick." Like, what? Well, your brother wants to kill you now, and you have to leave. I'm dramatizing a little, but I'm not really dramatizing at all. Like, this is what happens to him. And he means, what do you mean leave? She said, "You have to leave now." Okay, so, we'll get the tickets. No, right now. He was going to kill you. Like, leave. That's the parsha that we're at. We don't really, and the dramatization is here in order to sort of emphasize the whirlwindness of it. Just how quickly things happen and how his whole world is turned upside down. Yesterday he was literally learning in wherever, and today he's running for his life from his brother, who, between you and me, did he get along with him? Who knows? Probably. What?
You would assume not.
Did he not get along with him?
Doesn't say.
You know what I'm saying? Yesterday I was fine, and now the world hates me for something that I was forced to do, that I didn't really want to do. I don't know. Hard to say. That's where we start this parsha. Vayetze Yaakov bi'er Sheva vayelech Charana. So he's traveling to Charan. It's also important to note that this idea of traveling was A, very, very dangerous. B, you would never do it by yourself. Never. And C, it's a long, it's not like we travel. It's not like, get on a plane or whatever. Right, okay. And we'll see in a second. Vayifga b'makom. Vayan, this is the pasuk we're going to focus on quite a bit. Vayifga b'makom. Vayalen sham ki ba ha-shemesh. Vayikach me'avnei ha-makom. Vayasem mirashotav. Vayishka b'makom ahu. Okay, the word makom appears 3 times. So we're going to note that also. Vayifga b'makom. Let's translate it. We'll translate it literally, and then we'll do the Rashis, and then we'll do the Midrashim. Okay? Vayifga b'makom. In context, yes. Hit is correct. What does it mean in context? Vayifga b'makom. He arrived at the place. Correct. Vayalen sham ki ba ha-shemesh. And he lied down there because the sun had come, because the sun set. Vayikach, and he took from the stones of the place, and he placed them mira'ashotav at his head. Vayishka b'makom ahu. And he slept in that place.
Didn't the Shemesh leave, not come?
Oh, the Shemesh ba, the Shemesh came, the Shemesh went. It's a good question. It means the sun went down. Okay, so we're going to see Midrashim and all of these things. Look at Rashi. Okay, Rashi on Yud Aleph. Vayifga b'makom. Says Rashi, lo yizkir hakatuv be'ezem makom. Doesn't say which place. Ela b'makom hanizkar b'makom acher. Rather, this is the makom that's mentioned in another place, which is Shne'emar Bo, as it says, Vayar et hamakom merachok. And he saw the place from afar. Who saw the place from afar?
Abraham
Avinu. When? Akedat Yitzchak. So what place is this, according to Chazal? Har Moriah. Okay, so just in case the Arabs are listening to the tape, you should know that we have some connection to Har Abayit. I'm sorry, the EU,
Wait, was it the Hague, or whatever. Akedat Yitzchak happened?
What?
Is it where Akedat Yitzchak happened or not?
I would put it this way. There's, how should we say this? There's technical fact, geological fact, and then halachic and midrashic fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, did I mention this guy, Lior Shilyan, and his argument with Naftali Bennett last week?
No.
Oh. So in Israel, in the Israeli media, there's a comedian named Lior Shilyan, and he's on a show called, what's the name of the show? Haaretz, something like that. Eretz Acher, Eretz something or other. Every Israeli knows it by heart. It's on Mosei Shabbat. Okay? I don't watch it because I'm not interested. But, so Naftali Bennett is the Minister of Education, and every Friday he goes on Facebook Live and he talks about the parasha. And so he says something about Avraham Avinu and this is our land and whatever. The Yoshiyan picks on him and takes his Facebook thing, and he's sort of like, I would say, Colbert. Like, I don't know if that means anything to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or who's that new guy at HBO, the cynical guy? You know, whatever. And he makes fun of him and says, there was no Avraham Avinu. And they're like, he was an old man with, this land belongs to me because I'm an old man that had, you know, an old man with cataracts who didn't understand anything. He really, like, in a very inappropriate and, derogatory way, the way so many left-wingers do, spoke in very derogatory terms about basic core beliefs about much of the Jewish people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's primitive and ridiculous. So, of course, Naftali Bennett fired back. And Naftali Bennett, you know, said, you know, you're not funny. Most Jewish people really believe in these things, you know. And there's this debate going on. So I was watching, for some reason, this shiur by a woman named Sivan Rahav Meir, who you should have heard of, right? Who is a dynamo, and this is amazing, right? And she gives a shiurim. She gives a very popular shiur in Yerushalayim, like in every week. And now she started giving one in the hangar in Tel Aviv, right? And you can watch it on Facebook if you want. It's on Monday night, I think, you know. Whatever, you know, she's very popular. So she referred to it, she alluded to this thing. And she said, Shilyan, of course, one of the things that modern people do is they mock the fact there's no historical evidence, no geological evidence, no archaeological evidence for any of these things existing. So, you know, like, so there's no, they never found any cheres that said, you know, Abraham Avinu's in a coffee. You know, they never found any records of these things. So therefore, they don't believe it. And Sivan Rahav Meir, she quoted a very famous quote of Achara Am about Moshe Rabbeinu. And what he said was the following. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this was a secular Israeli, so she was like, she said, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist for us because we have some historical evidence that he had a bank account in Midian somewhere. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist for us historically. Moshe Rabbeinu, first and foremost, exists for us ideologically. He exists for us in our collective memory. So even if he doesn't, you have no evidence of the history of Moshe Rabbeinu, his existence is an axiom for us, right? His presence, his message, his Mesorah is part of who we are. And the same thing is to be said about Avraham Avinu. The same thing to be said about these facts. Like, where is this fact by Yifka b'makom? Chazal established that this makom is Har Moriah. You know what I'm saying? So does it matter? Like, you know, in the pshat, he reached this place. Like, which place is it? So it's a truism to us that he reached Har Moriah. And this is the place that he's going to have his faithful dream. You're looking at me funny, or you're okay with this? Yeah, I just think it's a very powerful way of looking at things, that we don't believe in historical truth per se. Did it really happen this way? It happened this way in our tradition. Right? And the tradition is what makes it true for us. And it sounds a little circular, but that's the way we see it.
It's not like there's evidence that disproves it either.
So what?
So are we talking about, sorry, Akedat Yitzchak being in Har HaMoriah, or this being Har HaMoriah? Because those are two
things. Yes.
So what?
Yes. What do you mean?
Both.
Oh, if you had evidence, if you found evidence that there was Akedat Yitzchak on some other mountain?
Exactly.
Right, but lack of a proof is not a proof.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it could have been on any mountain. Like, Shilyan actually posits that it never happened at all.
Right, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no evidence of any of these things. They're all ancient legends that were passed down.
When you originally said there's geological evidence, and then there's, I thought you meant
Not geological. I meant archaeological. Whatever. Yeah.
But I thought maybe you were implying that there actually was archaeological evidence of it happening somewhere else.
They've never found anything beyond Bayit Rishon, I think. I don't think they have it. They found like scrolls. They've never found. What would you find that would say Avraham Avinu? You know what I'm saying? That'd be really cool if they found something. But anyway, I have this belief. I always have this belief. So now they built the, you know, they built the train. Like they finished the tunnel to the train. So Yaakov Katz, the minister of transportation, he said, "Oh, we could just." He wants to put the plan together to go 2 more kilometers to get to Har Habayit, so the train would go all the way to the old city. You know, of course, the Arabs are going to go crazy or whatever. And so I have this like firm belief that when they finally decide to do it and they tunnel under there, they're going to find a lot of stuff. That's how you find stuff. You start digging. You start digging under in the old city, and you're going to find tons of stuff. Anyway, that's what the Arabs are afraid of. Okay. So what is Rashi says? This makom is Har HaMoriah. Shneimar vayar et hamakom merachok. So what does it mean? Vayifka. So Debbie immediately picked up on this idea. Vayifka, pogea. Vayifka kamo upaga biyericho. I should actually know what that means. It means they arrived at Yericho. Upaga bedaveshet. I don't know what that means. Rabotenu pirushu. So that's the pshat. The pshat is vayifka. He arrived at the place. But there's a drash. Rabotenu pirushu lashon tefila. This is the language of tefila. Kamo ve'al tifga bi. As we'll see in a second. Ve'al tifga bi. Do not entreat me. Do not lifgoa bi. That God said to Yirmiyahu. Ve'lamadu, and we learned, shetiken tfilat arvit. Yaakov established tfilat arvit. What does it mean? Vayifga ba'makom. So if in that, okay, in that, so let's read the pasuk again. We'll go back to the pasukim according to the Chazal. Vayete Yaakov mi'be'er shaba vayele charan. Yaakov left be'er shaba and he went to Haran. Vayifga ba'makom.
He prayed.
He davened arvit. Vayalen sham ki ba hashemesh. Right? It was, so you have to learn it this way. It got dark. Yaakov davened, and he went to sleep. Right? Meaning, but the Kiva Hashemesh is a description of why he went to sleep then. And then, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom v'yaseh mirah shotav. So in the view of Chazal, Yaakov went to Be'er Sheva. He went on the road. It got dark. He davened. He made up this tefillah. He came. He established his tefillah of Arvit. And then he went to sleep.
So, wait. Don't you first... Doesn't the Shemesh first?
Kiva Hashemesh, because
it
had come. He went to sleep because Kiva Hashemesh, because it had come. It's dark. Okay? So you'll say to yourself, if it means he davened, what should it say? Vayitpalel. Says Rashi, Mishina hakatu velo katav vayitpalel. Also, why doesn't it say vayitpalel? Great question. Lilamdecha to teach you, shekavtza lo haderech. Right, this is also a famous midrash. He had kvitat aderech. What's kvitat aderech?
Quickly.
Right. Kvitat aderech means he takes a step and, you know,
he walks 100 miles.
Or there's a big, like, there's a difference of opinion. Is it that you walk far, or that the place, or that the world, you know, condensed to you? I don't know. There's a difference. It's like a brisker chakira, I think. Then you got to figure it out. Anyway, so that's why it doesn't say vayit palel. Because vayifka means two things. Vayifka means he arrived quickly, and it also means that he died. Okay, but so we're going to see. So this is based on a midrash that we're going to see. Kiva Hashemesh. Why Kiva Hashemesh? Rashi. Hayar lo lichtov vayavo Hashemesh vayalen sham. It's also unusual. The whole pasuk is strange. Okay, it should say. You see where I am, Rashi?
Yeah. Okay. Could it be something like that? He was okay. He davened, and you know, it was late, and the sun already came.
What do you mean?
Like it was already morning, that the sun was coming up already?
Well, we're going to see he dreamed and it's night. No? One second. Does he wake up in the morning? Here we go. Yeah, because it says the next one, Vayashkem Yaakov Baboker in Yudche. So it's nighttime. It's clear then he goes to sleep as his dream and then he wakes up in the morning. Okay, so it is nighttime. But look at Rashi on a second. Kiva Hashemesh. Hayalo lichto vayavo Hashemesh vayalin sham. It's backwards. Remember, that's your question. He lied down, it seems like. Ki vahashemesh, mashma, teaches us, sheshaka lo chama pit'om, shelo ba'onata, kedei she'alin sham. Right? Ki vahashemesh means the sunset, it was 2 hours early. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, zhup, night.
So he was forced to sleep.
He was forced to sleep there. So and that's why he was mitaken. What Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to go to sleep there. He wanted him to have the dream there. He wanted him to see something. Okay. So if that's true, so now I want to stop. So we have this very, very unusual pasuk. In fact, if you count the miracles in Rashi, it's like many.
It reminds me of when we were discussing right before Brit Bet Avtarim, the sun also. There was like discussion whether it was like morning or night and the sun, and then it seems like he had this.
What was the language? Did you find it?
I'm looking for it, but I also found that it says Vayihi Hashem Hashba'ah, and I think it's
Shemesh Ba'ah, that's that. That's Brit Bet Avtarim.
Oh,
this is great. You actually, that's... That's it. That's Brit Bet Avtarim. Where are you?
So I did find it.
Okay, yeah, where is that? Where are you?
Tepav.
Yeah. Right. Yud Gimel, Yud Bet. Yud Bet. Tepav, Yud Bet. Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo.
Oh.
Ah, this is great. That's really good for me, because I always thought it meant nighttime was coming. And so this connects to that.
No, but there's the second one. There's Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo.
Yeah.
Teradena.
Mm-hmm. But Abba means Atzmo Lemala. Interesting. So Rashi, in there, Rashi says it means it rises. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good question.
It seems like there's this. The sun does something right before some type of dream, some type of message, some type of chazon.
Do you see? But I don't remember Rashi's or any commentaries about that saying that the sun came down earlier, that the sun did something unusual. Here we have Kiva Hashemesh. The Midrashim are clear about this. That, you know what I'm saying? That the point was that the sun set early. The Midrash says it explicitly. One second. Kiva Hashemesh.
Oh, here, yeah.
Here we are. Lama Omer Kiva Hashemesh. Okay. Ella. One second. Bata Ditzale Ba'il Mehadar. He davened. It was, right? And he wanted to go back to Haran. Chazal have this whole thing about he went to Haran and then came back. Yeah. Right? This we've discussed before. Is it ringing a bell? Yeah. Like, where did he go? Vayetze Harana, vayivga ba'makom. So he had to come back because he forgot. And I gave a whole drasha once about that we forget about Harabayit and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So they say, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzadik Uzeh Ba Lebeit Meloni Yipateh Belo Lina. God says, this tzaddik comes to my house. He comes to my hotel. He's going to leave without staying. He's not going to sleep over. And therefore, miyad b'hashemesh. So God's like, no, the sun sets, you have to stay. You can't go anywhere. There's a lot of explicit midrashim that this idea of kibah hashemesh, okay, melameh, this is another, one second, breishit rabbah, shehishkiya kadosh baruch hu et galgal hachama shelo be'onata. The sun set not at its proper time. Oh, by the way, and when did we get the 2 hours back? Anybody know? What? Right. Shemesh v'givon dom v'yar be'emek ayalon, that the sun stopped for the battle to go longer. Very good. It's a very famous, so that you lost the 2 hours, so you have to get the 2 hours back. Somehow. Okay. No. What? Yeah, that's very good. Okay, so we have the crazy midrashim about this. I want to talk about this idea of vayivga b'makom. Rashi explains, why did it say vayivga b'makom? It should say vayiv paleo. So the reason is because that comes to teach us, no, that he arrived here, that he had pitzat haderech. So then word vayivka then means two things. On the one hand, it means he, like, shum, like, you know, arrived fast. And on the other hand, it also means he davened. Why not just split the words? What's the implication of the word vayivka? So there's a very, very, very famous gemara in Brachot that I'm going to share with you. If I gave out sheets, I would put the fun sheets, but you're okay listening? Okay. It's a very, very famous Gemara that the Gemara talks about in the beginning of Brachot. There's a machloket we have three tefillot today, as you all know. We have Shachrit, Mincha, and Arvit. So the Gemara talks about first a dichotomy. Why do we have three tefillot? One of them is Keneged Korbanot Tiknum, right? Corresponding to the Korbanot. I have Shachrit because there's a Korban, a Tamid Shel Shachar. Mincha, it's a korban tamid shel bein ha'arbayim. Arvit, there is no korban out at night. Mm-hmm. Right, so arvit is a problem, which is halachically why, interestingly enough, arvit in technical terms is called a tefillat. Anybody know?
Not betzibor.
You're close. You're very close. It's called tefillat reshut. It's not a chova. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a whole machlok in the Gemara.
You have to do tashlumin on it if you forget, right?
We do tashlumin on it if you forget.
Women.
There's a whole issue about is arvit, reshut, or chovah.
You mentioned one time. Have I mentioned if that? You had to miss one, that would be the one. If you didn't have a choice between Mincha and Maariv, you should choose Mincha. Like for a minion.
I said that?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like something so. I'd say. How would you have a choice between Mincha and Maariv? That Mincha now with a minion, and then whatever happens later. I said that?
Yeah.
Something. You'll find the tape. Okay. I'll deny it until you find the tape. So that's it's fascinating to note that even though we all daven Maariv and it's ki'ilu it's a chova, the Gemara paskins tefillat arvit is a reshut. Right? It's optional. It's halachically optional, but now it's mandatory. Whatever. That's tefillot keneged korbanot tiknum. That's one opinion of the Gemara. There's another side of the Gemara that says tefillot avot tiknum. The avot established them. If avot tiknum, so who established them? Avraham established Shacharit, Yitzchak established Mincha, and Yaakov established Arvit. Where? Says the Gemara. And we're going to see this, and we're going to look at the Psukim. Tanya Kavatei, Rabbi Yeshua, Brosi, Rabbi Chanina. Tanya Kavatei, Rabbi Yeshua, Levi. Okay? Tanya Kavatei, we learned in the Brita, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Avraham Tiken Tfilat Shacharit. Shine Amar, as it says, Breshit, Perak Yotet. Perak Yotet. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. Ve'en amida ela tefila. So where is that? Let's find that pasuk. Vayashkem Avraham baboker ela makom asher amad sham. Breishit yutet. Vayera. Here we are. Breishit yutet kaf zayin. You see it? It's after the destruction of Sodom. Okay, and it says the following. Vayashkem Avraham baboker. Abraham got up in the morning. Ela makom asher amad sham et pnei Hashem. To the place where he stood asher amad sham et pnei Hashem. So what does that mean, amad sham et pnei Hashem? You stood et pnei, facing God. What did Abraham do, if you recall? Interesting. What did he do? If you recall, what did he do before the destruction of Sodom?
He davened.
He pleaded.
Yeah.
He pseudo-negotiated. Right. Right. It's very interesting. Would I consider that prayer?
It's communication.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So says, and those Rashi doesn't say anything here, but if there's a Ayba Musaf Rashi, if you have the bottom, Amakom Asher Amad Sham, Batfila. Says the Gemara, Ve'en Amida Ela Tfila. Amida refers to tefillah. Shnei Amar, as it says in Tehillim, Vayamod Pinchas Vayipalel. Pinchas stood and davened. So the word amod, la'amod, is amida, tefillah. Derech agav, right? What do we call Shmona Esrei? What's it called?
Amida.
And we stand. Okay. Vayakshim Abraham, so ela makom asher amad sham. Amida, that's the first one. And when did Abraham do it? Baboker. Second, Yitzchak tikein tefillat mincha. How do we know? Shnei Amar. Does anybody know what the pasuk is? Excellent. Breishit kaf dalet. Let's turn Breishit kaf dalet. At the end, Rivka is coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, Rivka is coming back. Right before Rivka's, she's on.
Just before she arrives.
Right before she arrives. Okay, exactly. Breishit kaf dalet. Let's start with Samach Bet. The very end of Perek Kaf Dalet.
Samach.
Kaf Dalet Samach Bet. Okay, Rivka's on the way back. Yeah, it's a long prayer. Rivka's on her way back from Haran. She's going to meet her new husband. Okay, she's traveling back. Yitzchak ba mi bo be'er l'chai ro'i. He's coming from Be'er l'chai ro'i. You see where I am? Or I'll wait. Kaf Dalet Samach Bet. Great. Yitzchak ba mibo be'erach ha'lerui. He's coming back. V'hu yoshe be'eretz ha'negev. It's somewhere in the Negev. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. Yitzchak went out lasuach basadeh when? If not erev. Okay. He went out. Vayisa einav yar v'hineg malim v'ayim. He lifts up and he sees the camels and then she sees him and she's like, who is that? She falls off the camel. Okay. Why?
Look at Rashi.
It's hilarious. Mincha should be like towards the evening. Erev, towards evening. What is towards evening?
Mincha can be like we can daven mincha anytime in the afternoon.
What is that? What is the afternoon? Lifnot erev.
But I came at 1 o'clock. So
at 1 o'clock is after the day has turned. Lifnot erev. You don't like that? No, sorry. Okay. Look at Rashi. Lasuach. Lashon tefillah. See the Rashi there? Lashon tefillah. It's the language of tefillah.
Yeah.
And he quotes Yishpoch Sichot. Where does Rashi get this from? I'll quote you. Says the Gemara. I'm back to here. Ve'en Yitzchak tiken tefillat mincha. Shnei Amar, as it says, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev. Ve'en sicha ele tefila. Sicha is must be tefila. Shnei Amar. Tefila la'ani ki ya'atov. You familiar with this song?
Yeah.
You're familiar with this song. You know what I'm thinking of? Anybody see this? It's a... Like, if you've ever seen the videos of Gush Katif, like, this is the famous song that these, like, you know, like 800 opener girls were sitting in the main Beit Knesset in Vedi Kalim, and they're singing the song for like an hour.
Which
Tfila la'ani ki ya'atov, v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. I'll read it again. Tfila la'ani ki ya'atov, the ani, the poor person, wraps himself in. I'm reading from the Gemara.
I'm
back in the Gemara. Right? Tfila la'aniki. I didn't prepare sheets. I didn't prepare. Okay. Tfila la'aniki. It's a very, very famous Gemara. Tfila la'aniki ya'atof. The poor person wraps himself la'atof litatef in tfila. V'lifnei Hashem, and before God, yishpoch sicho. Shofech, he pours out his siach. What's siach? Sicha? His lasuach. His talk. Okay? And here talk obviously means it refers to prayer. So therefore, says the Gemara, when the Bayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, Yitzchak went to talk in the fields, right? Lifnot Erev, towards the evening. He went to, what did he do? What would we call that today? What does it sound like? Yeah, that's exactly what we call it, right? It's Hasidish, it sounds like. You know, like that he went out to the fields, Lasuach. To speak to God.
And no wonder she fell off her camel.
What?
Basically,
he must have been like a glow, you know?
It's not, it's a conversation between you and God. Now we have a...
Wait.
Maybe that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
What?
I like that.
Basically.
Well, what did Abraham do? I said, Lamakom
asher amad sham. He was also talking to God.
Okay, he stood there. Okay, 1 second. And the last one, obviously. Yaakov tiken tfilat arvit. And this is from our parasha. Yaakov established tfilat arvit. Shneemar, vayifga b'makom vayalen sham. Would you have said this, by the way? Vayifga b'makom. Would you have said, oh, that's tefillah?
No.
No. Okay? Like, really? And then, and what's the pasuk? Ve'en p'giyah ela tefillah. P'giyah refers to tefillah. Shneemar, as it says, Yaakov was, that God said to Yaakov, ve'ata, God was so angry at Yaakov, at the Jewish people. I'm going to get the actual pasuk. It's a God comes to Yirmiyahu Anavi, right? Yirmiyahu is not the most uplifting, right? Basically, all of Yirmiyahu is going to be what? Yeah, you're all going to die. It's terrible. Okay. Here, God says. Now, Yan Ashot Sotchem et Kol HaMa'asim Ha'Elenu HaShem, right? You've done all these terrible, terrible, terrible things. Va'adaber Aleichem Hashkem Medaber V'lo Shamatem. And I said, listen, and you didn't listen. Va'akra Etchem V'lo Anitem. And I called you to do tshuva, and you didn't listen. Va'asiti La'bayit Asher Nikra Shemi Alav. What I'm going to do to my house, the Beit HaMikdash, that my name is upon it. Asher Atem Botchim Bo. That you have faith in it, and this place that I've given you, I'm going to do to it what I did to Shiloh. What did I do to Shiloh? Destroyed it. And just like I kicked Ephraim out of their homes, you're all going to get kicked out too. And then he says the following, and you, Yirmiyahu, al titpalel ba'ad amazeh. Don't you go davening for them. Meaning, like, you know, you think you're going to save them. Don't you go davening. Don't raise up rina, prayer, utfila. Meaning, see this verb? I don't want to hear it.
That's so contrary to what he's
supposed to believe about the Tefillah.
Yeah.
Meaning that even when the sword is against the throat, there's still room for... Yeah, let me
read you the next pasuk. Don't daven, why? Ha'incha ro'eh mahima osim ba'arei Yehuda b'chutzot Yerushalayim. Don't you see what these people are? I don't want you to daven. Don't daven. The implication, of course, is if you do daven, I'll have to listen to you. But I don't want to listen to you because I want to destroy the Beit HaMikdash because they're terrible.
Wasn't it also with Moshe? He wasn't supposed to daven more?
Moshe Rabbeinu, when was Moshe Rabbeinu? Very good. When was he asked not to daven?
To go into Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. Right. Stop. Enough. Don't daven anymore. Right? It's very interesting. Like, that's a very interesting shiur that somebody's going to have to give sometime when God says, I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, please don't dub. Anyway, there's another one. One second. There's another one. When was the other one? Right, there's a midrashim about that in the Chorban Habayit, that the Malachim say, like, remember, like, in the Asara Harugei Malchut, you know what I'm talking about? Like, in the Piyutim of Asara Harugei Malchut, the angels cry out and say, how can you do this? This is a terrible thing. And God says, stop talking. Right, this is my decision or something. Whatever. So God says, Al Tif Gabi, the word paga. So says the Gemara, and pegiya ela tefillah. So from here I learn, I read out, I understand that the word pagat lifgoa refers to tefillah. Okay? So therefore we see that there's the Gemara talks about three models of tefillah. First is Avraham. What's the word of Avraham? And when is it? If we were in a classroom, I would put on the board, obviously. You can just imagine in your head. Avraham, right? When? Morning, Amidah. Yitzchak, afternoon, Sicha, Lasuach. Yaakov, evening, Lifgoa, Paga. And I said to myself, like, these are not just so that you could take it in one way, you could say, well, each one is a reference to tefillah. But we have to ask ourselves, what kind of tefillah? Oh, that's the question. That's what's so interesting to me. So I have two perushim for you, and then I'm gonna we'll go on for that. What is we think of tefillah in different ways, right? But tefillah has different meanings in different contexts. So the first one, so I haven't thought this out fully, so it's worthwhile to discuss. It's interesting, like I didn't look at it fully, but when we talk about Abraham is El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. What does it mean to stand? Ein Amida Ela Tefillah. La'amod. Like, what did Abraham do?
A sign of respect.
Right? No? What did Abraham do? What was he amad sham? What was he doing at that place? He said pleading? But it wasn't pleading. Yeah, it wasn't. It was a...
They're on even terms.
It does seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a conversation. It's hard to say in a way. It's very interesting. Like what we want, like, and that's considered classic Amidah. That's a tefillah of Boker. Tefillah of Boker, you would say to yourself, you first get up in the morning, you turn to God, you're Omeid. You stand. What are you standing? That's number one. Don't even a question mark. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh.
It seems friendlier.
Yeah, sicha.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's focus on Sadeh. Right? I forgot that, right? It's a very interesting point. Abraham is where? Where's the place? What does it say in the Pasuk? El ha makom asher amad sham. Ha makom.
He's also praise from El Chasadeh. Isn't that like when Hashem comes out to meet us? It's like, it's supposed to, meaning it's like, come to meet midway. It's also like more of like a.
Sadeh to me connotes the idea of away from everything, out in the wilderness, right? You know, like away from other people. Lasuach basadeh. Really, like, it sounds like he's talking to himself. You know, there's an intimacy of it. Makes me think of, in our parsha, if you recall, when Yaakov Avinu decides he's had enough of Laban, right? And he says to them, he says to his wives, I got to talk to you. So where do they go to talk? Where do they go to talk?
Sadeh.
One second. Yeah, it must be. I don't remember if it uses the word Sadeh. I don't remember if it used the word Sadeh. One second. Let me see if I can find it. Dun, 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 dun. Mm. recording? Oh. I'll upload it. Don't worry.
Oh, wow.
Wait. He wants to talk to them. He's like complaining about them. Here. Yeah. Look at Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. He wants to talk to them. He's like, I got to get out of here. This is crazy. Your father is driving me bananas. He's ripping me off left and right. So what does it say? I'll wait till everybody finds it. But you see here, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. Lamed Dalid, 34. Lamed Dalid. Lamed Dalid.
Lamed Aleph Dalid.
Oh, Lamed Aleph Dalid. My bad. Sorry. Spaced out. Lamed Aleph Dalid. You see it? Vayishlach Yaakov vayikra Rachel ulelea hasadeh el tzono. He calls him out hasadeh. Why does he call him to the sadeh? Very simple. Because the walls have ears. You know, he can't talk to them in private because he knows Laban is like, you know, he's like the KGB. He's got people listening to them all the time. Okay, so this idea of implies a certain intimacy. Like I go to the field and it's just me and God, and that's what Yitzchak is all about. Get away from other people. You know what I'm saying? That, and that's what we want to think of Yitzchak. Why lifnot erev? Why did Yitzchak feel that this Yitzchak was most appropriate in the evening time, at the end of the day?
There are less people around. It's a time where everything calms down.
Right, it's, you know, the Shacharit is clearly the introduction to the day. Mm-hmm. Before you begin your day, what do you have to do in Shacharit? In a sense, it's like a
preparation.
Yeah, like I'm starting the day, I'm getting ready for the day. So there's how do we have to connect that to Amidah, to standing. Lasuach basadeh, like
in the day, it's like taking an account of the day.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Taking an accounting. And that has to be done really alone, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, although we all do it in Tzibur. Okay, by Yifga Yaakov, what do we do with Ein Pegia Ela Tefila? What do we do with that?
Is the word Paga that Shorash used elsewhere in Tanakh?
Al Tifga Bi, but what does it mean? Hu Paga Bi. If your kid comes to you and says, Ima Hu Paga Bi, what does it mean?
He
attacked me! Pogea means to attack, right? In the modern vernacular. Al Tifga, by Yifga Ba Makom, it's an unusual word to say he arrived. Right, pogea. Then I don't have to get in corners. I don't know where else it would appear. I'm sure there's. I have one, but I don't have time to go get it. Or whatever. So it's an interesting question. But it definitely has that connotation of attacking.
But does it have
pogea?
But necessarily a negative connotation, or can it be with a positive connotation?
I don't know Tanakh well enough to tell you all the examples, but I'm sure it has a negative connotation. Vayifgabo. Yeah, I'm sure.
Because attack could also mean a certain result.
Okay, sure. Now, do you mind? Do you know where the concordance is? You know where it is? In the back room, on the like on the bottom shelf. I think no, not there. In that room, in the bottom shelf, on the right. Now we got to know. I'm sure it has a negative connotation.
But isn't there also the idea that night is when we're vulnerable and things
very
are
good.
Very bleak? And
exactly. I 100% agree.
That's true.
100% agree. The idea of Tefillah Ha'erev of Arvin. That's where we're gonna get to that. So first, I want to do. I'm gonna quote you, Rav Cook. We'll see the bite. You don't see it? Oh, you found it. Okay. You're going to find, I'm sure, 100 examples of pagad meaning attack. Yeah. Okay? While we do it, I just will quote you Rav Kook. This is a book called Enaya. Enaya is a commentary on all Agadah. Unfortunately, Rav Kook only got to Brachot and Shabbat. He wrote 4 volumes on Brachot and Shabbat, and then he stopped because it's beautiful, beautiful stuff. We've done some of this Enaya. So he says, he picks up on this right away. He says, these 3 languages of Amidah, Sicha, and Pegia, Mechavnot neged shlosha inyanim chalukim shebaim mitoelet ha-tefila. He says it's not 3 types of tefila, but 3 elements, 3 benefits of tefila. 3 positive attitudes of tefila. Okay? He says, tefila pu'ulat ha-tefila is kol yisodeh ha-yir'a va-musar alulim lishtakeach min ha-lev mibnei sa'arat yetzer lev ha-adam v'tavat ha-zman. Right, they do. If a person is a fear, God-fearing person, you found it?
Yeah, they're all
attacking.
Pretty much beyond that. Beyond that comes out.
What is it?
Yeah,
attack. It means to attack. That's a con. That's,
yeah.
There's a million of them, right? It means to attack and kill.
Okay.
So to attack and kill in this context means tefillah. Really? What?
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah. Okay. Hatfilah tashrish et kol inyanim hakadoshim. The point of tefillah is to instill in us the ideas of spirituality and kedusha in the heart. Ba'ofen sheyeh lehem ma'amad chazak. So the person has a strong basis. So he says, "Vayamod ein amida elatfila." When you stand up, this amida is to stand you up and to say, before you start your day, and before you go to work, and you get involved in God only knows what, and you know, all these issues that you're going to have to deal with during the day, what's your grounding? Like, what is your spiritual reality? That's the idea of tefillah. You don't even have to, like, we think about it as asking for things. But most of tefillah is not about asking for things. Most of what we do in davening is tehillim, shema, praise. In the middle, you ask for stuff. But that's not what it's about. It's about, what am I going to spend my day doing? Is my day, it's going to be in the mundane, but am I going to use that mundane as part of my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? That's Amidah. Sicha, okay, he talks about, tefillah b'shem mishtatev im tzmachim v'ilanot. Person who includes the plants, the trees, okay, that are called sichim. What's a siach hasadeh? They're called plants. Sicha. Okay? She'adam karov lahasir me'alav hatradot hazmaniyot. You take off all of your, you know, like at the end of the day, it's like, take it all off. All of the stuff that you were involved in during the day, go out into the field and have this sicha. Okay, this idea of connection to teva, right? Connection to like me'al hateva, etc., etc. Okay, and then he said the third one is b'gi'ah. He said b'gi'ah is the night. The night is a time of special spiritual elevation. It gets in a totally different direction. We don't read it, but he says it's v'yifga b'makom is an even higher level of the, one second, machazot nos'im. Like the idea of asher lo yusgu, like the idea of like when you're alone and it's a night, it's the dark, you can conjure up even higher ideals, higher elevations. So he talks about those three levels, three benefits of tefillah. You have amidah, rooting yourself in the day. What? It's very Kabbalistic. Very, very Kabbalistic. Okay, so he talks about it as three benefits of tefillah, three reasons that we dive in. The first one is to, you know, ground myself in the day. The second one is to become, like, you know, to take off the elements of the day, lasuach basadeh, to connect to nature, to connect to spirituality. And the third one is even a higher level, which I don't entirely understand. But I want to sort of understand it in three modes of tefillah. And what I'm going to say is somewhat controversial, so you can ignore me if you want, because that's always the option. Okay? Avram, like, I think it refers to kinds of prayer. There's different kinds of prayer in the way that we pray. We pray for different things at different times. Right? Avraham is interesting. He negotiated with God. He stood up to God and negotiated. He's asking, but he's not asking, he's not pleading. He's asking on a level of tzedek. Like, does it make sense, God, to destroy the city if there's 10 tzedekim or 50 tzedekim or 40 tzedekim? He's trying to understand. He's trying to connect to God in a way. He's trying to make sense of the world. And every time he gets a response back, yes, you're right, I wouldn't do it in this way. I wouldn't do it in that way. In a sense, he's trying to build tzedek into the world through his communication to God. And that's a certain, you know what I'm saying? When you start in the morning, before you have your day, that's really what we're trying to do. We're not, you know, like, things aren't bad yet. Like, terrible things haven't happened yet. I'm trying to establish a base. I'm trying to establish a reality. That's one kind of tefillah. You know what I'm saying? That's one. Sicha, I think, in the afternoon, I think it is much more intimate. It just speaks to me in that way. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. He goes out into the field, and there's no one else there, and there's a certain release, in a sense. And you turn to God because there's no one else to turn to. And the day is over, and it's sort of like a reflection time. I remember reading once, this guy wrote, like, you know, the book about Carnegie, Seven Good Habits of Something or Other. Like, you know, Dale Carnegie wrote it, I think, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. So one thing he writes is that the reason he became successful is because every night he wrote in his diary and he would think about the day and he would spend time, I don't remember, every night or once a week, going over the week, what would I have done differently? Like, just in reflectiveness. And of course I thought that was an incredible idea and I've never done it. Because we're afraid of it. We're afraid to really reflect on our day, to connect to God in that way. Lasuach. People don't do Bodhidut because they're embarrassed. They do it because they're afraid of what they'll find when they do it. Okay? Then that's the greatness of Yitzchak. That he introduced this idea. Well, what's Yaakov? What's his Vayivga b'makom? So, and this is the controversial part. Vayivga b'makom is, of course, what am I trying to say? Anybody want to guess? Or you want me to say it? He attacked God. And it started by introducing this idea. What happened to Yaakov? Like, what is Yaakov? What does he think of himself? Like, if we accept that he was an Ishtam, Yosheva Ohalim, what does he expect for his life? He wants to learn in Kolel. He wants to, you know, be a spiritual person. He probably basically thinks I'm a good person. I'm doing what the Ribono Shel Olam asks of me. And in the course of a matter of minutes, his whole life is turned upside down. Everything he thought that would happen to him for himself, everything he expected that God would give him, gone. And now he's not. What are the chances that he's going to have time to sit and do Daf Yomi in the next 20 years? Right? What does he spend the next 20 years of his life doing? Grinding out a living for his father-in-law who rips him off time after time after time. He doesn't know that's going to happen, but he probably could guess. Right? He's going to have to have a wife and children. I wasn't ready for this. I didn't ask for it. His brother hates him. He's running for his life. He's like, what the heck? When does Yaakov do this? In the Erev. What is Erev? Classically, as you all know, Rav Kook writes about this also. The night is a time of darkness.
Mm-hmm. So is Makom not actual place, but more like
the
omnipresent?
Oh, right. Makom
is in Hashem's name.
It's God. And then you would say to yourself, it's a little bit of kfira, because obviously, there's an element of it, because who is anybody to say, I don't deserve this? Who's anybody to say, like, to question the righteousness of God and to say, how can you do this to me? But there's a hubris in that and an appropriateness to it, as we, you know what I'm saying, on the one hand, on one level. But at the same time, it speaks to a level of intimacy and closeness. Like, you'd only do that to someone, you'd only say that to someone who you have expectations from, who you feel close enough to be vayifga mamakom, to say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Where did we go wrong? Right? If you didn't have that relationship, you would never say that. And so we have to, and that raises a whole different idea of tefillah, of vayifga, al tifgabi. Don't attack me. What does he say? What does God say to Yirmiyahu? God, what are you talking about? How can you destroy right the Beit HaMikdash? That's crazy talk. I don't daven, I don't pray for them, and I'll tifgabi. And don't give me any of your arguments either. And that happens when? In the darkest of times. You know what I'm saying? And it's a natural reaction that when we lash out, in a way, a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to lash out at him and to wonder. And what happens immediately? Why? Kiva HaShemesh, the night had come. Why did the night come? Obviously, because the point was God wanted him to be in this place and in this time and to fall asleep here and to have this dream. And what's the message of the dream? Right. Pasuk Yud Gimel, we're back to our parsha. It says his dream. We don't have to see the whole thing. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, and God is standing above and saying, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Velohei Yitzchak. I am Hashem Avraham Yitzchak. Haaretz asher ata shochev aleha lecha etnena ulezarecha. V'haya zarecha ka'afar haaretz. You will have many children who far atzda yama v'kedma tzapona v'negbe nivirchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'ama ulezarecha. Pasuk Tevav especially. V'hine anochi imach. I will be with you. I'm in Pasuk Tevav, back in Yudchet, back in our parasha. I will be with you. I will guard you. I'm not going to abandon you. I.e., what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yaakov? After Yaakov, Vayivgabo, what does he say? There's a reason for all this. Right? This is part of a larger process that you didn't necessarily understand. Right? But that only comes when a person is Vayivgabo Makom, when you turn to God and you ask and you plead. But it's not pleading. You accuse. Right? That's a part of tefillah as well. And that's a part of a relationship as well.
How is this different than Abrams?
What?
I hear it in the terminology, but I don't see how Abrams' negotiation regarding Sodom is different. Because it's also saying, I mean, maybe it's a little politer, it's less of an attack, but mm-hmm. It's still questioning God's intent and plan. and trying to change the outcome?
I would say two things. First, Avraham himself is not suffering personally.
Okay.
It's not coming from that place. That's my initial reaction. I understand what you're saying. It's a communication. It's like one gets a sense Avraham is invested, but it's like a negotiation.
It's not personal.
That's the way it sounds like when you read it. Chalila lecha, you could never do that. How could you do such a thing? But it's not like, you don't get the sense that he's like, we don't know it from Yaakov either. It's all
exactly.
Intuition. Yeah, which is great, which is important, but it's not. But as opposed to Yaakov, like vayifga b'makom, like if you say that lifgoa, the word lifgoa is just so powerful, it's so out of place, it doesn't make sense at all. And Rashi picks up on it right away. And the whole, why didn't it say vayitpaler? Because it's speaking to something different. And I think that we have to. It's important for us to think about tefillah in those different ways. That we daven to Hashem in different times for different things. Sometimes we daven to Hashem that my kids should continue to do well. And sometimes we daven to Hashem that the situation that I'm in, I don't understand it, and I need, enlighten me or get me out of it. And sometimes we daven for just give me the koach to deal with these situations, even if it's not going to fix itself right away. But you know what I'm saying? That our tefillot have different connotations and different, and you were saying, like Debbie, you said, like now we just say the words. Right? The worst thing is like we need to have the words there for us, but that's the worst thing we can do is just to say the words. The tefillah has to be different conversations in different periods of time for different reasons. And I think that's exactly what Chazal said, what they were trying to teach us in, if you say keneged korbanot, then fine, there's a system and a process. But if you want to say, but that's not what tefillah is about. That's one side of it. Tefillah is keneged avot tiknum. The avot, they established them, one for morning, one for evening, one for night, but it wasn't just that. One in one way, one in another way, and one in a third way, because they understood that tefillah have different roles at different times for different needs. And that's something that takes a level of maturity and sophistication that we have to develop in ourselves. They ask, I say the words, but in Shema Kolein, if I stop and I talk to God and I say, I had a good day today, thank God my children did well today, or my mom's feeling good, or you know what I'm saying, or the fires were crazy, but wow, nobody got killed, it's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? There has to be room for that. We have to make space for that, and we have to make space for that in different times and different ways. And sometimes our tefillah will be shacharit, sometimes it will be mincha, and sometimes even it's arvit, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach out to Him in those times as well. Yeah?
One thing that bothers me, isn't the evening meant to be a time also that represents emunah? Meaning that the facts aren't clear, but you have to have the emunah that it's all for the greater good. But when this whole thing of attacking, the way I understand it from what you're saying, it's almost kind of a lack of emuna. You're questioning Hashem's judgment.
Yes.
Why is this happening to me? How can you let this be?
You're right on the line. Correct? But it's not... But I that's why I say it. It's like pseudo-kfira. It's not really kfira. But it speaks to this idea of I want to understand. It's not that I don't have faith, but it's difficult. What?
I don't understand why it's pseudo-kfira. It sounds like kfira to me.
Acceptable. Yes, I understand. Except you have to deal with one word. Vayifka. You understand? Meaning, it's meaningful. To me, it's meaningful because you have such a close relationship that.
So you have such a close relationship, so you can say, Hashem, can you please help me understand? Can you please, get me through this? I realize I don't understand that it feels horrible, but I understand it must be for the greater good. You're not saying, God, why are you doing this to me? It's terrible. That's really fira.
Well, that's my standard.
By the way, I want to say that Rav Sheinzelt does not say what I say. I appreciate what you're saying is kfira, but I don't think of it in that way. I think of it as a level of intimacy. Yes, I really do. I think of it in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Did you ever have a fight, like a real fight with like the lady at the grocery store? How could you overcharge me for these, for this meat? No, because like they made a mistake and whatever. You might argue and you deserve the money back, but it's not there. But if your husband is mistreating you, chas v'shalom, it wouldn't happen that way, but he said something insensitive.
My husband is not God.
What? I'm not going there. I understand exactly what you're saying. I do. That's why. And you could totally reject it. You absolutely can, and it's fine. Somebody want to help me, or you all agree with?
No, I
think it's
fine.
A question of intimacy that you're so.
Doesn't God want us to question?
To question.
I mean, isn't it the most human thing to not understand and to?
Understand, absolutely, absolutely, it's the most human thing. But to say this is terrible, stop it! Don't do this to me. You're supposed to step back and say, this feels terrible. But
there are people who experience hardship and they turn away from God. This is like the opposite. This isn't saying I throw away religion. I don't believe in a God. How could a God do such terrible things? If God is just, but it's the opposite. It's saying this is terrible, and I still believe in God, and so I turn to God to help me understand and to flee. I maintain that relationship with God. I think it's like the.
But it's innate. But
your relationship with God is.
But she's saying is that
you're saying to God,
I know better.
Exactly.
Yes, I know what you're saying. But I don't agree. I think what you're saying to God is, in my mind, I know better. So I turn to you to either change it or explain it.
But it's also...
Meaning, in our mind, by the way, we are like this.
So you're making a semantic argument.
But it's an important semantic argument.
No, I don't think it is. Because this is an emotional... It's saying intellectually you might have even, but emotionally you cannot deal with the fact that God is doing this to you. I think those two things are foreign together. Because we're all humans and we all can only handle certain things. It's like telling God that you just...
Prayer doesn't make sense anyway. Prayer is saying, in my humanity, I'm calling out to God. Who are you even calling to God? What are you talking to God in the first place for? Why do you even think he's listening to you? I understand what you're saying. You have every right to totally reject it. I think that when people are, you know what I'm saying? When people are in mitzuka, it's a natural inclination. And you have a choice to say, yeah... I think someone very great is someone who totally submits. And you know what I'm saying? It says, I accept whatever you give me, and this is obviously, I understand it. But it's very difficult to read
Abraham,
that into,
right?
It's very difficult to read that into Vayifga b'makom, Vayifga, that word. And it's also very difficult to expect the people in every situation. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have that relationship and to try to seek out and understand when we can't, when it's the most difficult. It's definitely something to think about. What's even more important to think about is, though, to think about tefillah as not this monotonous or a single mode of communicating with God, but to think about it in a more sophisticated way, in a broader way, that there's different ways, different times, and different levels of connection, and that we have to think about that as well. All right, we'll stop here.